Brother Jose, but I don't remember how long ago it was, but as I think about Jose and I think about my friendship with him, you know, I think about the work that the Lord does in somebody's life, and I remember many years ago when Jose was not happy to come here, and I do remember he would sit back there and he was not pleased, and it was obvious, but he came for his wife, and you know, over time, the Lord worked on his heart, and we see what the Lord does so often through His gospel is makes a change in somebody. And so I'm grateful for our brother Jose and for his ministry. And I know that he's prepared. And I know he's got a new sermon here because this title says Jose's new sermon. So we're not going to get something old. We're going to get something new here. And I'm ready to hear it. So I'll give you our brother and priest Jose Galvan.
Thank you so much for those words, Brother Adam. Every time Brother Adam says something, I laugh. That's just my first reaction. No matter what it is, I always laugh. And he knows that, so he knows that. So every time he sees me, everything he says, he's expecting me to laugh. Well, if I don't laugh, something's wrong. But yes, this is my famous folder here that I keep my new sermons. And I'm sure, like, as anybody and as any minister, when they stand behind the pulpit, your heart is going 100 miles an hour. And I can't remember who was it last week or sometimes you feel like you're getting dizzy or you're passing out or something. Either because it's my glasses that I'm not so used to it, or these puppets keep moving around, but I think it's my glasses. But I know that the Lord will give me the strength to stand up here and to bring His word, to bring His promises that we have in the Holy Scriptures. And that is the reason why he is called, he makes the call to those who are less inspected. This week, it's been kind of hard for us. We had some tears, and we had happiness at the same time. You know, the Bible says there is a time for laugh, a time for cry, a time for suffer, a time for joy. And how true that is. That is so true. Sometimes I ask myself, why God calls me to do His work, to do His ministry? Sometimes I feel not worthy to stand behind the pulpit because I know that as a human, I make mistakes and I sin every day. But God has so much mercy for each of us to come to Him and with honesty, with a broken heart, because you know you have made a mistake, but we have the opportunity to come to Him and ask Him for forgiveness. And I do sometimes ask Him, you know, Lord, you know your sheep. You know every single one of us here. And perhaps I don't know what's in front of me. I don't know what the future is, has for me. I don't know what God has for me in the future. But for a reason, He dared call me. And I truly believe that. And I truly accept this call to this office to serve Him. And it's hard. It's really hard. Maybe perhaps I dare have those shingles in my back just to teach me a lesson. They're gone. They were painful, but they're gone. You know, I was remembering when I went through that time, I was remembering about Job, in the book of Job, how much he suffered. And he had the same skin problems. He had all these blisters or whatever they were. And he was suffering, but he never cursed God. He never cursed God. And that's something that gives us strength to us, faith, that we should do the same thing no matter what we're going through in our lives. Not to curse God, but to glorify Him for everything that He has done for us. You know, a lot of people, we have lost a lot of family members this year, and maybe you ask why, but we are nobody to ask why. God knows why that happened, and perhaps we might get an answer later, but we should not judge, because God has not put us here to judge. We are no one to judge. He is the judge. He will take care of things at the end. So we don't have to ask why. We just, all we have to do is trust in the Lord and trust in His promises. We lost a little puppy in my house, a little dog that we love. And so that was a reminder to us that death exists. There is a death. And it's going to start collecting us sooner or later. But are we ready for that time? And that is we need to work on that every day. We need to work for our salvation every day. And every day we have, maybe I say it many times, but maybe every day we have is an opportunity for us to come to Christ and to make that commandment with Him, to make that promise that we will be His truly followers, no matter what we going through in our lives. One of my nieces just got married yesterday, and we were invited. We went. We had a good time. A lady came around and asked us if we want, maybe it was champagne. And the last two weddings that I've been, it was my daughter's. It was Natasha's and Nathan, and it was another one I can't remember. But we don't drink. We don't drink. You works. People are watching you. People are watching you. And I totally forgot. I totally forgot how it was when I was in the world. If I would have not known Christ last night, I would be doing other things that would not please Him. Drinking or dancing. Maybe it's not a sin to dance, but drinking, it is. And dancing it is too, perhaps. It can send a lot of bad thoughts. Because the way it is now in this world, people don't dance. They just jump around and just do these things that you like. What are they doing? They just look foolish, right? That would have been me if I were to know Christ. So we are peculiar people. We are. But I was happy for my niece because she made a decision that pleased God. They will not longer be fornicating and become one flesh, like it says in the Bible. So I was happy for her, and she was happy. I can see it in her face that she was happy. She was. So we have tears for a little puppy that we love. I'm pretty sure we all have a pet, and we love them. They're part of the family, and then we have happiness. I just went to the kitchen in the back, and I see everybody pretty excited, getting ready for the reunion. Our sister goes shopping and brings all we need. Everybody's helping her to bring everything into the church. We are hoping to have a really good time for this reunion. We are hoping that God will guide us and direct us in all those services that we're going to have. So we have something to see forward for next week. We are getting ready for that special time. We are getting ready. And we know that it's going to be here soon. So we have to prepare ourselves. And as a body, well, you know, we all put a little bit to be ready for that day, because we know that it's needed. So that brings me to my thought that God has put in my heart. Are we ready to receive him? Are we ready? Are we ready to be with him, to follow him? And perhaps what I'm going to say today, it might not be something new. You have heard it many times. But we need to remind ourselves, and that is why we are here. And that is why we are here, to remind ourselves who we are and what are we hoping for. It is a blessing for me to be here. Even that I'm shaking. As I was preparing for this sermon, as you know, Mary don't live with us, and she's has her own apartment. Didi's working all the time, and my wife, she's working, so I love my Mondays because I'm by myself. And that's when it gives me a good time to sit by myself at my table and read the scriptures. And when I'm trying to prepare, I'm talking to myself, maybe even louder than I am right now, because my wife says I'm pretty loud sometimes. I have a really bad ear infection right now in my left and my right ear. But as I'm sitting there by myself, getting ready, talking to the Lord, no one else, except my little two chihuahuas there. They sit right next to me, looking at me like, who are you talking to? Or they just get excited because they're thinking that I'm going to give them a treat. But I really enjoyed that time. And that's an opportunity for me, besides besides my side jobs, they sometimes keep me busy. And that's when I think of, why, Lord? Why do you call me? But he might see something else in me that I don't see. And I feel guilty because sometimes I focus more on my work than on him. But I know that he knows me. And like I said, perhaps I don't know the future, and he might have more something greatly for me and for each of us. What I'm going to say today is that we have a promise. We have promises of salvation. And that is, you know, why you're here today. why are you here today sitting on your bench? When we can be doing something else. Because there's so many things up there that can lead us away from the church, lead us away from the from God. But if you fear Him, you know you're supposed to be here and not anywhere else. At the end, our reward is more greatly than anything else that this world has to offer for you. Even the best cell phone. And this is the things that we're talking about here. The, you know, this thing can really, games, football, Sunday football, going, play golf. I mean, there's so many things you can do on Sundays instead of being here. But you know, I truly believe that Christ has suffered for us and so much that we owe Him a lot. And we will never repay Him. By being here today, the Spirit has touched in your heart. I believe that. This is where we belong. And there's always a time. There's always a time for other things. But we have to continue on in the right path and trust in those promises. Even the people will make fun of us because we are peculiar people. That's my favorite word. We're going to go to 2 Peter. Second Peter chapter 3. We're going to read in verse 3, chapter 3, verse 3 to 4. You're not going to read just from the first. 2 Peter. This second apostle, beloved, I know writing to you, and both which I stir up your pure minds by a way of remembrance, that ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophet and the commandments of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lusts, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning, as the creation. And these are the things that I'm talking about. That they don't see those promises that we have. So they can laugh at you. You know, scoffers in Spanish is people that laugh at your beliefs. Laughing, burlando. That is the word, burlando. And we see that everywhere. If you ever try or have the opportunity to speak to someone about Christ, they're going to listen to you or they're going to laugh at you and they're going to walk away. But here we read to be mindful of that because there's going to be days that these times they're going to come when these people, they're going to laugh at you when you're trying to witness these things, but Christ has said, I know my sheep, and they know my voice. Whoever, you know, when that opportunity comes and you speak to this person, you will know that he is hungry for the gospel, for the word of God. For he knows, for him to know that's what it is, what he needs. But you know, it says in the scripture, blessed are the feet of those who cross mountains to bring his good word. Blessed are those. We have a promise of his coming, but nobody knows it. And there's been a lot of people, a lot of false prophets that have prophesied, you know, he's coming, but nobody knows it. We know our promise. We know he's coming back. He's coming back. We just don't know when. So we trust in that? Yes. We need to trust in what the Holy Scripture says. In Matthew 24:36, it says, but of that day and hour, in the hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. That's what Christ said. We need to believe and trust in that. That nobody knows that. Nobody knows when it is coming. In Matthew 24:45-51. Matthew 24. Matthew 24:45-51. It says, what then is a faithful and wise servant whom his Lord had made ruler over his household to give them meat in due season? Blessed is the servant whom his Lord, when he comes, shall find so doing. Verily I say unto you that he shall make him ruler over all his good. But if that evil servant shall say in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming, and it shall begin to smite his fellow servants, and to eat and drink with the drunkard, the Lord of that servant shall come in that day when they look not for him, and the hour he is not aware of, and it shall cut him asunder and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. We shall be always stand fast into that promise, because we don't know the day of his coming. So this is how the world thinks today. Where is he? He's not here. We should continue with our life. We should continue enjoying the things of the world. Where is he? But if you're a good servant, we know that we have to continue on in the same path, not doing the things of the world and what it offers to you, but be a good servant. And that's what we've been called. You know, when Christ was trying to wash the feet of Peter did not understand why he was washing his feet. But he told him, you know, if you don't let me wash your feet, you have no part of me. We want to be part of him. We want to be part of him. Wash my feet and anything else. I want to be a part of you. And how are we going to do that? How are we going to do that? We need to accept him. We need to accept him. If you want to be with him, there's only two ways. But if you want to be with him, We need to accept him in our heart and minds and walk in his steps, just like a little, it's like a little children trying to follow his father. We need to follow him and be like him, want to be like him. That's the only way. And that's why we get together every Sunday to be reminded of those things, to be reminded that we are following our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And that's why we're here. Don't mind anything else that is outside of this building, because everything is going to burn at the last day. That's what they're telling us in their book of Revelation. But we'll get to there. Second Peter again. Chapter 3. I should have let you know you stay there. We're going to read verse 8 to 10. But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day with the Lord is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. We have no time. It's really close. We have no time. Our end is really near. I don't know where I heard it from, but how far is death from us? How far is death from us? It can be one breath. We have no time. We have no time for us to focus more into the things of the world. We need to be aware that Christ can be here anytime. And perhaps by then, it can be too late. It can be really late. The Lord is not slacking concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long suffering to us, were not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. You know, God so loved the world that he sent his beloved Son, that whoever will live in him shall be saved. And that is what he wants. He's not slacking. He's not delaying his coming. But he's giving us an opportunity to make things good with him. He's giving us an opportunity to come to him and to repent. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, and that which is heaven shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with the fervent heat, the earth also and the works that are herein shall be burned up. Shall we continue focus on our fancy cars and our big house that you work all your life to pay for it and it's gonna melt down? Or should we focus on the internal life that God has for us to live with him forever? We do need those things, don't get me wrong. But there's more up there. And the reward is better than anything else. I bet if President Trump will walk right through this aisle right now, you will do your best to reach for his hand and shake it. Will you do the same for Christ? When Christ has given everything for you, and when Trump maybe has not even given you a house? But we have to follow the law. We have to follow the law. But there's better reward up there. Even if people laugh about us. We remember they did the same thing to Jesus. So if they did it to him, they're going to do it to us. They're going to laugh at those things that we are trying to make them understand. There is more up there for you than that the Christ lost you. Let's go to John chapter 8. John chapter 8. Verse 48 to 59, chapter 8 of John. Then answered the Jews and saying to him, say we not well they are a Samaritan and it has a devil? Jesus answered, I have not a devil. I have not a devil, but I honor my Father, and ye do dishonor me. And I seek not my own glory. There is one that seek and judge. Verily, verily, I say unto you, if a man keep my saying, he shall never see death. Then say the Jews unto him, now we know that thou hast a devil. Abraham is dead, and the prophets, and thou sayest, if a man keep my saying, he shall never taste death. Are thou greater than our father Abraham, which is dead, and the prophets are dead? Who makes thou thyself? Jesus answered, if I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It is my Father that honor me, and whom ye say that he is your God. Yet you have not known him, but I know him. And if I should say I know him not, I should be a liar like unto you. But I know him, and I keep his saying. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it, and he was glad. Then said the Jews unto him, thou art not yet 50 years old, and hast thou seen Abraham? Jesus said to them, verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. Then they took up their stones to cast at him, but Jesus heard himself and went out at the temple, going through the midst of them, and he passed by. Did they believe in him when he said, before Abraham, I was? That's crazy. What do you mean? You're only 15 years old. How can you see Abraham? How can you know him? Those are the things I'm talking about. The people, they're not going to believe what you're saying. But in Genesis 18, verse 1, to me, Christ saw Abraham. In Genesis 18:1, it says, and the Lord appeared to him in the plains of Mamre. If you remember, they were on the way to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. So he there saw Abraham. But of course, they will not believe him. In Exodus, Genesis, forgive me, Genesis 1, chapter 1, verse 26, and God say, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. Let us make man in our image. A lot of people, and what I studied when I was in school in Mexico, they just told us that we came from the monkeys. Evolution. So that makes me a monkey? Is God a monkey? Let us make a man in our image. We fight with that every day. People believe that. There's still people that they believe that. In Exodus 3, chapter 3, verse 14, and God say unto Moses, I am that I am. And he say, thou shalt thus say unto the children of Israel, I am has sent unto you. God was from the beginning. Christ was from the beginning. I am. People will not believe that these days, but we do. And we have to be strong in that. And those who are interested to know God will believe, will understand, will hear you, will open the doors to you. Because Christ said, my sheep knows me. In the book of Nephi, in the Book of Mormon, chapter 1, first book of Nephi, chapter 1, verse 18 to 21. 18 to 21, it says, therefore, I would that you should know that after the Lord has shown so many marvelous things unto my father Lehi, yea, concerning the destruction of Jerusalem, behold, he went forth among the people and began to prophesy and declaring to them concerning the things which have both seen and heard. Because of the things which he testified of them, for he truly testified of their wickedness and their abominations. And he testified that the things which he saw and heard, and also the things which he read in the book, manifest plainly of the coming of the Messiah, and also of the redemption of the world. That is our promise. That's what we're looking for, the promise of the coming of the Messiah. But of course, because Lehi made them see the wrong things, the wrong doings, they didn't like him. And it's the same thing today. And that's what it says. We see a brother that is lacking doing all the things, you should approach him. And try to lead him back to the fall. But because you know the wrongdoings, you might get in trouble with them too. So we take a chance. We take a chance. Are we perfect? No. But we're trying to be. We're trying to be perfect. And Helaman, chapter 5, 120a. Chapter 5, 120a. to 138. I mean 129, I'm sorry, to 138. And they began to reason and to contend among themselves, saying, "This is not reasonable that such a being as Christ shall come. If so, and he be the Son of God, the Father of heaven and earth, as had been spoken, why will he not show himself unto us? As well as unto they which shall be at Jerusalem. Yea, why will not show himself into this land as well as in the land of Jerusalem? But behold, we know that this is a wicked tradition which has been handed down unto us by our fathers to cause us that we should believe in some great marvelous things which should come to pass, but not among us, but in the land which is far distant, a land which we know not. Therefore they can keep us in ignorance, for we can not witness with our own eyes that they are true. And they will, by the cunning and the mysterious arts of the evil one, work some great mysteries which we cannot understand, which will keep us down to be servants of their words." Is that our purpose? No, that's not our purpose, but that's how they see it. That's how they see it. We don't try to wash your brain. It's the truth. But because they haven't seen things, they literally want to see proof in front of their eyes. What is their faith? There's no faith. And it made more things, 136, and many more things that the people imagined up in their hearts, which were foolish and vain. And they were much disturbed, for Satan did stir them up to do iniquity continually. Yea, he did go about spreading rumors and contentions upon all the faces of the land, that they might harden their hearts. He is busy. He is busy. Satan is busy. And that is his work. It's almost like we have to compete with this, whoever it is. But people these days will believe what it says here. So we have to work harder. We have to work harder. Perhaps we might be able to save a few. Because there's a lot of evil after these days. Lots of evil. But God is with us. That is one true comment right there. Again, in Helaman 5, 117, 117 and 118. "But the more part of them did not believe in the words of Samuel," this is Samuel who was proclaiming his coming, "therefore, when they saw that they could not hit him with their stones and their arrows, they cried out unto their captain, saying, 'Take this fellow and bind him, for behold, he has a devil. And because of the power of the devil which is in him, we cannot hit him with our stones and our arrows.'" There was no devil in him. He was fulfill the work that God has appointed him to do. And God was protecting him. It was not a devil. The God was protecting him as he has protected a lot of our ministers that go to different parts of the world. He keeps them in his care. He shows them where to go and where not to go. this was not a devil. This was God protecting him, our brother Samuel here. And that's why he was not getting hit with rocks or stones. And to this day, he's still protecting his servants. There will be many that will believe. And those that will believe, they will know what to do. Again, in Helaman chapter 5, 116, it says, "Therefore, as many as believe in the words of Samuel went forth unto him to be baptized, for they came to repent and confess their sins." That is our word for today. And that's why God has called us to do. To speak of his gospel and his promises, that Christ will come back for those who he has chosen. He says that at the end, he will send his angels to collect his saints. God will protect his chosen ones and those who has made that covenant with him. And it's just not that I'm saying. I mean, it's in the scriptures. We can read in Psalms. In Psalms 50. Psalms 50, verse 5. He says, "Gather my saints together into me, those that have made a covenant with me by sacrifice," sacrificing your heart. That's what he wants, the sacrifice of your heart. "Gather the saints into me." Christ will be here when we're not expecting him. Revelations chapter 6, verse 12 through 17. "And behold, when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood. And the stars of heaven fell into the earth, even as a fig tree cast her ultimately figs when she is shaken of a mighty wind. And the heavens departed as a scroll when it's rolled together, and every mountain and island were moved out of their places. And the kings of the earth, and the great men, and the rich men, and the ship captains, the mighty men, the bonded men, the free men, hide themselves in the dens and the rocks of the mountain." That's what's going to happen when they see this, all these things coming. They don't know what's going on because they have no God. And maybe, perhaps, those that dare hear about him and did not come to him, those are the ones they're going to be hiding himself from. But there's no where they're going to be hiding because all this is going to be gone, as it says here. Verse 16, "And say to the mountains and rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him who sits in the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb." Our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, is the judge. "For the great day of his wrath is coming, and who shall be able to stand?" My favorite scripture in the Bible, Ecclesiastes 12:13, it says, at the end, you know, just fear God and keep His commandments. Christ told Thomas, "Blessed are those who believe without seeing." But we know that promise, and that promise is still going into today. We have to work for our salvation every day, brothers and sisters. And I thanks to God for calling me into this office, that I may be able to speak these words. Don't get mad at me. That's what the scripture says. That's what God says. Revelations chapter 22, verse 12. It says, "And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according to his works." That's the show, that's how it shall be. According to your works, your reward will be. In John chapter 14, verse 3, "And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you into me, into myself, that where I am, there you may be also." What a wonderful promise. I can say no to that. All I want is a little corner of His mansion. I don't wish for so much, because I'm not worthy. I remember a brother, Huber, went to Missouri, and he brought this brother who was in the war, enjoying the things of the war. But Brother Huber speak words that made him think about, and we know that that was the Holy Spirit, and he come back to the church. One of our brothers that was baptized not too long ago, he was at the camp scriptures. He came to the understanding that he was procrastinated. I know there's a lot of people here that they've been procrastinated to come to Christ. I invite you today to come to Christ. Don't procrastinate it, because the time is coming, and we don't know when, but it's coming fast. And Alma chapter 10. Chapter 10, verse 27. "And now, my brethren, I wish from the inmost part of my heart, yea, with great anxiety, even into pain, that you should hearken to my words and cast off your sins and not procrastinate the day of your repentance." Don't procrastinate that day. Time is going quickly. I read something on the computer. I don't know what to call them. It was this lady who was passing by with her child. Who was passing by this cave. And a strange voice came up from the cave and asked her, "Come in into the cave, grab everything, anything you want, but you only have 8 minutes. But don't forget the most important thing." So she obeyed and she went into the cave, and when she went inside, she realized there was gold and jewelry and all that good stuff. She put the child down and start collecting all this richness. And again, the voice came to her and say, "Don't forget, you only have 8 minutes to gather whatever you want, but don't forget the most important thing." She continued on. At the end of the 8 minutes, she ran outside with all this richness. But she forgot the child inside, and the cave was not to open forever. It was shut down forever. She forgot the most important thing in her life and gave it up for richness. To me, 8 minutes, you add 10 is 18 years. But in our life, actually, in God's life, understanding, it will be 8 minutes. That's what we have, 8 minutes. Not 80, 8 minutes. We don't have a lot of time. So what's the most important thing? It's not the richness. Alma 16, 229 to 236. "And now as I lay unto you before, as ye have heard so many witness, therefore I beseech you that ye do not procrastinate the day of your repentance unto the end. For after that day of life, which is given unto us to prepare for eternity, behold, if we do not improve our time, while in this life the comet of the night of darkness, wherein there cannot be no labor performed." You cannot say, when you are brought to the anvil crisis, that I will repent, that I will return to my God. Nay, you cannot say this, for the same spirit which does possess your body at the time that you go out at this life, the same spirit will have power to possess your body in the eternal world. For behold, if you have procrastinated the day of your repentance, even unto the death, behold, you have become subject to the spirit of the devil. And he doth seal you his. Therefore, the spirit of the Lord hath withdrawn from you, and had no place in you, and the devil has all power over you. And this is the final state of the wicked. And this I know, because the Lord has said, He dwelleth not in unholy temples, but in the hearts of the righteousness doth his will. Yea, and he had also said that the righteousness should sit down in his kingdom to go no more out, but their garments should be made white through the blood of the Lamb. That is our reward, to be with him as he has promised. That promise continue on. Don't let this richness of this world take over you. Our brother Stephen read in Helaman 4:51 this morning, the richness or temptations will separate you from God. But I say that neither those things or hard times, don't let them separate you from God. Trust in him and trust in his word and in his promises that is still going in our lives. I thank you for your time, and I hope and pray that these words were a blessing for you today. God bless you.